Uber is set to price its hotly anticipated IPO even as markets remain volatile.
It's a rough backdrop for them to go out in.
And President Trump promises disaster aid for Florida.
Never heard about Category 5s before. Category 5 is big stuff.
Plus, trade talks resume in Washington today. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we get into our main story this morning, just who will be making a lot of money in Uber's IPO tomorrow? Here's what you missed. Last night at a rally in Florida, President Trump promised more disaster aid to the Florida Panhandle. The area has been struggling to rebuild in the wake of Hurricane Michael.
And tonight I'm pleased to announce that my administration will be allocating $448 million in HUD disaster recovery funds for the great people of Florida.
At the same rally, President Trump also vowed that he would impose higher tariffs on Chinese imports as a result of what he said was a quote-unquote broken deal. That's because Chinese authorities last week decided that they would play hardball with the U.S., interpreting recent statements and actions by the president as a sign that the U.S. was ready to make concessions. This morning in China, markets are once more headed lower. From Hong Kong, Steve Russolillo has more.
Yeah, Chinese markets are really taking it on the chin this week. And it all started on Monday when the Shanghai Composite fell over 5%. And the sell-off has extended itself into Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And really, the concern is what happens with the U.S. and what happens with these trade negotiations. Coming into this week, everyone just sort of assumed that a deal was kind of a formality at this point and that some sort of agreement would be reached in the coming days. And instead, it's been quite the opposite. So the negotiations on Thursday and Friday in Washington are going to be crucial. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of news that leaks out over these 2 days, and they could really swing the markets in both directions. But whatever kind of result that we get from this is going to be a key determinant as to how the markets perform in the future.
And the House officially voted to hold Attorney General William Barr in contempt for his refusal to release an unredacted version of the Mueller report.
Those in favor respond by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
And the ayes have it.
Before the vote, President Trump asserted executive privilege over all materials being demanded by the panel. The vote now sets up a potential legal challenge. House Judiciary Committee Chair Jerry Nadler, a Democrat, called it a constitutional crisis. And now our main story, Uber. The company is expected to price its shares today ahead of its debut tomorrow. One big winner, the Japanese technology conglomerate SoftBank. Our IPO reporter Maureen Farrell has been following every single development in Uber's march to markets. So Maureen, before we get into SoftBank and some of the other expected winners from Uber's IPO, do we have a sense of where the company will end up pricing its shares?
So they've wanted to be conservative all along, and they had set a pretty conservative range. Now they look like they're set to price at the midpoint or possibly below the range, which is roughly, including what they're raising in the IPO, between $80 billion and $90 billion. That's where their valuation is.
Now, this is lower than where we'd been expecting, correct? Will their investors still make money?
Well, it's higher than all their previous investors had got in. I mean, there were real questions whether the private markets were overvaluing some of these companies, particularly Uber. So even the highest valuation we've seen of Uber, which was roughly $76 billion after you count in all the capital they raised. So this is higher than that. Still, we had heard last year their bankers were pitching a valuation as high as $120 billion. So it's a lot lower than some of the really high numbers we had been hearing. They've kind of dialed it back. But, you know, they've kind of had the perfect storm this week. We had this market sell-off. We have all these concerns in the markets about trade wars. Volatility is really kind of the enemy of IPOs because you're taking a big risk when you buy into a newly public company, especially in this sort of new grand sector. So there's a lot of volatility. There's still concerns over what's next with the trade wars. And then we just saw Lyft, their newly public competitor, come out with its first set of earnings Tuesday night, and they are down 6-7%. It's a rough backdrop for them to go out in.
And one of the biggest windfalls will obviously be for SoftBank, right?
Yes. At the midpoint of the range, we've calculated that they're likely to make about $3 billion in profits on paper.
That's not bad.
It's a big profit. And essentially for them, they came in at a really rough time in the company's history. So they got in at a valuation that was lower than where Uber had previously raised money. They were able to buy a lot of existing investor shares. They bought some new stock. All in all, they've roughly bought in about a $50 billion valuation. So they're doing a lot better than the late investors that came before them. It's also a short time horizon to sort of generate this return. It's been, you know, a little over a year.
And what will they do with all of that money? You've reported that SoftBank itself could maybe be headed for an IPO.
They're headed basically, from our reporting, anywhere, everywhere. I mean, some of my colleagues have reported that they've been in talks about doing an IPO of their $100 billion fund, which is the world's largest technology fund, to raise more money based on their stakes in all these companies, including Uber, including a lot of other ride-hailing companies. We've also reported that they're talking about raising another $100 billion fund. And just as a bit of context, I mean, $100 billion, when they announced this fund in late 2016, they announced that they were going to form this, they were going to take $50 billion from Saudi Arabia, from their sovereign wealth fund. No one had ever heard of a fund really this size. I mean, it was orders of magnitude bigger than other technology investing funds. And it's really kind of changed the whole landscape of private capital investing.
Who else will make a lot of money in this IPO? Current CEO, Dara Khosrowshahi?
He's set to make a bit of money, but Travis Kalanick, former CEO and co-founder, will be a billionaire many times over on paper with this IPO. He's already sold out some of his stake to SoftBank, but you know, he'll make many billions times that. Other early co-founders and the early venture investors have just done incredibly well. I mean, some of them came in when the company was about a several hundred million dollar company. And I mean, so it will be orders of magnitude that they've made on this. It's a long time horizon, but I mean, these are just incredible returns. Among them are the fund's Benchmark, another Silicon Valley firm, Menlo Ventures, First Round Capital, Goldman Sachs even got in very early. They had connections with the company. They were working with them. And they made different investments, both on behalf of the firm. They used some of the firm's money to write a check into Uber. And they also invested on behalf of their clients. And I mean, for all of them, it will be incredible returns.
You can find our full coverage of Uber's IPO, including its opening share price later today, at WSJ.com. On to markets. We talked a little bit about the impact that trade concerns are having, but here's another thing that's worth paying attention to. It has to do with oil prices, which are still well below their peak in 2014. For some of us, that's good. It means going to the gas station is slightly cheaper. But for Gulf countries who are reliant on oil revenue, well, it's led to a shift in thinking about economic reforms. To fund them since 2016, Gulf countries, including Qatar and Oman, have issued more than $250 billion worth of debt. That's twice as much as they issued in the 4 years prior. And now some people, well, they're betting against that debt, as our markets reporter Avantika Chilkati has been finding out.
It's a hugely contrarian bet, and the reason that it's interesting is because these people are saying, look, we've all been hugely excited. We're all hunting around for yield, but have we really thought about this basic question of do these countries have as much money as they say they do? These sovereign wealth funds are famously lack transparency. And even if you look at some of the things they've invested in, if you look at, say, Qatar's investment authority, some of these investors say QIA's money's gone into London real estate, it's gone into local infrastructure within Qatar. If this country runs out of money, no one's going to want to buy local Qatari infrastructure. So if you're worried about default and you think this country has less money than they say they do, that's sort of the best reason to short this credit.
And now the SCED. Here's what to look forward to later today. As those trade negotiations are happening in Washington, we'll also get the latest monthly snapshot of U.S. trade data. The figures come a day after Chinese trade data showed a surprising drop in exports compared to a year ago. That's when analysts said that exporters were boosting orders to get ahead of the imposition of tariffs.
Introducing Echo Dot Kids Edition. It's everything you love about Alexa, made just for kids. It comes with a kid-friendly case and a one-year Amazon...
And while some of us might be becoming increasingly dependent on our home smart speakers, especially if you're listening to this podcast on one, there are still concerns about the devices listening in. Today, a coalition of privacy and advocacy groups is planning to file a complaint with federal regulators alleging that Amazon's Echo for Kids is improperly recording and preserving the conversations of young users. They allege that Amazon stores the data in the cloud even after parents are actively trying to delete it. It's one of the first privacy complaints to target Amazon. A spokesperson for the company said that it's compliant with federal privacy laws and that its privacy policies are disclosed on its website. Finally, here's something that's a little bit confusing. Smaller mortgages are becoming harder to get. That's because more lenders are catering to high-end borrowers. It's making it harder to buy a home in places even where prices are otherwise affordable. Have you noticed this? Tweet us at WSJ Podcast or email us at whatsnews@wsj.com. That's What's News from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.